Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. It is Tuesday, December 27, 2022, and you are listening to the live internet broadcast of Secrets Revealed. Understand the Book of Revelation from start to finish. Today, we're talking about the seven plagues prophecy in the Book of Revelation. So there are seven last plagues, seven final plagues that represent the wrath of God. These seven final plagues, the wrath of God, come after the wrath of Satan. So what is the wrath of Satan? It is a time of great crisis like the world has never seen. It's a finite period, 3.5 years of great tribulation, 3.5 years that begin with the Antichrist standing in the middle of the third temple, which is shortly to be rebuilt. He will declare, according to Daniel chapter 7, that he is God. And according to the 666 Antichrist prophecy, chapter 13 in the book of Revelation, the great tribulation, the wrath of Satan, will last for 3.5 years. If we look at that in months, it's 42 months. So in some places in the Bible, it talks about 42 months. If we're talking about days, in chapter 12 of the book of Revelation, the 1,260 days prophecy describes how the Antichrist will wage war for 1,260 days against Israel and also the saints. So let us talk about the seven final plagues, the wrath of God. Today I'm going to share with you the seven plagues written in the book of Revelation. Chapters 15 and 16 include the seven plagues prophecy. The movie trailer in words is chapter 15, and the full report is chapter 16. The seven final plagues culminate with two events. One of those events is the Battle of Armageddon. Another event is the judgment against the great city Babylon. So there are two important things with those events. In the seven plagues prophecy that we're about to hear, we will hear that the seventh and final plague includes, again, judgment against the great city Babylon and the Battle of Armageddon. So they are mentioned as two of the events that follow the angel pouring out the seventh and last plague. Additional information about those events. In other words, each of those events has its own statement of prophecy. So the book of Revelation, by my analysis, has 12 statements of prophecy, and the seven plagues prophecy is one of 12 prophecies. It's the seventh of 12 prophecies. It's followed by the purple and scarlet prophecy. Now, what's in that? That describes one of those two major events that happen with the pouring out of the seventh and last plague. It describes how does God handle retribution for those activities that have been conducted by the harlot church. The harlot church that operates out of that great city, Mystery Babylon. And then after the purple and scarlet prophecy, which is that prophecy is found in chapter 7 and 18 of the book of Revelation, in chapter 19, the war to end all wars, the marriage supper prophecy is described. So today we're going to focus on the seven plagues prophecy. I want to share with you briefly the prophecy, part of the prophecy about the Battle of Armageddon, because it is the culmination of the wrath of God. So we're going to hear the seven plagues prophecy in its entirety. We're going to hear what's plague number one, what's plague number two, what's plague number three, continuing up until we hear the seventh and final plague, which includes, but it's not limited to, the Battle of Armageddon. So why is the Battle of Armageddon so important? It is the event that immediately precedes the commencement, the beginning of the government of Jesus Christ. So in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, we're told that for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. And we're told what his name is and how he's the Prince of Peace, the Everlasting Father, the Wonderful Counselor. And then we're told, and of the increase of his government and his peace, there shall be no end. So when does this start? When does this peace of Jesus Christ begin? When does this government that we're told will have no end, when does it begin? It begins when the Battle of Armageddon is won. So I want you to hear the full report of the Battle of Armageddon, and that's provided to us in the Marriage Supper prophecy. So I want to read to you part of that Marriage Supper prophecy. This is, if you will, the full documentary of the Battle of Armageddon. So again, we're looking at this because the seven plagues prophecy culminates with the Battle of Armageddon, and that's the end of it. But if we want to go beyond knowing that it's going to happen, if we want to know, well, what is it going to look like and exactly what's going to happen during the Battle of Armageddon, we have to go to the Marriage Supper prophecy. It begins in chapter 19 of the book of Revelation, verses 6 to 21 include the marriage supper prophecy. I want to begin with verse 11. So I want to share with you details about specifically what happens during the Battle of Armageddon. There are some verses that preceded verses 6 to 10, but specifically let's focus on what happens during the Battle of Armageddon, and then we'll hear in its entirety the seven plagues prophecy. So here it is, part of the marriage supper prophecy, where you can hear a detailed report of the Battle of Armageddon, which follows the pouring out of the seventh and last plague. It says in verse 11 of chapter 19, reading from the New Living Translation, "Then I saw heaven opened, and a white horse was standing there. Its rider was named Faithful and True, for he judges fairly and wages a righteous war. His eyes were like flames of fire, and on his head were many crowns. A name was written on him that no one understood except himself. He wore a robe dipped in blood, and his title was the Word of God. The armies of heaven, dressed in the finest of pure white linen, followed him on white horses. From his mouth came a sharp sword to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron rod. He will release the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty, like juice flowing from a wine press. On his robe, at his thigh, was written this title, King of all kings and Lord of all lords. Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, shouting to the vultures flying high in the sky, Come, gather together for the great banquet God has prepared. Come, and eat the flesh of kings, generals, and strong warriors, of horses and their riders, and of all humanity, both free and slave, small and great. Then I saw the beast and the kings of the world and their armies gathered together to fight against the one sitting on the horse and his army. And the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet, who did mighty miracles on behalf of the beast, miracles that deceived all who had accepted the mark of the beast and who worshipped his statue. Both the beast and his false prophet were thrown alive into the fiery lake of burning sulfur. Their entire army was killed by the sharp sword that came from the mouth of the one riding the white horse. And the vultures all gorged themselves on the dead bodies. That is a report of the Battle of Armageddon. So what did we hear there? Jesus Christ will descend from heaven riding a white horse, followed by the armies of heaven also riding white horses. They will come to a specific location in Israel, and there Jesus Christ will wage a war, which is referred to as a righteous war. And on one side is Team Jesus with the armies of heaven, and on the other side is Team Satan with the Antichrist, that's the beast, the kings of the world and their armies. And so there they are facing each other in Israel, fighting a war, the war to end all wars. There will never, ever be another war on this present earth or the new earth to come after this war. Now, at the end of the millennial reign, Satan will be released for a short time, but there won't be a war. He will tell the people, oh, let's go. Let's go to Jerusalem. We're going to take back the earth. But there won't be any war. When they get there, fire will fall from heaven and consume them, and that's the end of it. There's no war. There's no combat. This battle that follows the release of the seventh and final plague, the Battle of Armageddon, is the war to end all wars. And so what happens at the end of it? At the end of it, three important things happen. The beast, the Antichrist, is destroyed. How is he destroyed? Using God's strategy to destroy all of his enemies, which is to put them to the second death in the dead judged prophecy in Revelation chapter 20. The second death is defined as the lake of fire that burns with brimstone forever and ever. So the Antichrist is thrown into the lake of fire. He will not participate in the great white throne judgment. The false prophet, who will work in tandem with the Antichrist, according to the 666 Antichrist prophecy, there's six specific actions that the false prophet will do. They're reported in the 666 Antichrist prophecy while working with the Antichrist, both under the inspiration and leadership of Satan. The false prophet is also destroyed at the Battle of Armageddon. So the seventh and final plague is serious. The Antichrist not only loses his life, but is destroyed permanently. The false prophet not only loses his life, but is destroyed permanently. The third thing that happens at the Battle of Armageddon, every person fighting in the armies of the 10-nation alliance under the leadership of the Antichrist and the kings of the world, 100% of those individuals will experience the first death. They will die as a result of the sword, the weapon used by Jesus Christ. That weapon is described in the marriage supper prophecy. And at the end of the earth reaped prophecy, the end of the earth reaped prophecy in chapter 14, we're told that 180 miles of blood 180 miles of blood will flow when this happens. 180 miles. So what's included in that 180 miles of blood noted at the end of the earth reaped prophecy? Well, we're told right here in chapter 19, it's the flesh of kings, generals, and strong warriors, of horses and their riders, and all of humanity, both free and slave. What does that mean, all of humanity? It means all of the individuals who are there who are human. Now remember, the Battle of Armageddon is the marriage supper. How do we know that? It's referred to in every translation as either the marriage supper, the wedding supper, or the wedding banquet. So in this particular translation, in the New Living Translation, it's referred to as the wedding feast in verse 9, and it's referred to as the banquet, the great banquet, in verse 17. So before there can be a marriage supper, a marriage banquet, a marriage feast, there has to be a marriage. So the Battle of Armageddon happens after the marriage. You might say, are you sure about that, research scientist? So I wanted to share first about the details of the Battle of Armageddon. And before we move from that, let me also share, how do we know that this really is the marriage supper? Well, it tells us this in the prophecy, but notice that it said, the angel standing in the sun shouts to the vultures flying high in the sky. Let me read it exactly. Verse 17 of chapter 19 says, then I saw an angel standing in the sun shouting to the vultures flying high in the sky, come, gather together for the great banquet God has prepared. So the great banquet is not prepared for the saints. Now, I've heard lots of teaching, especially on YouTube, but also on other programs on stations like TBN, which I love, but I've heard a lot of teaching that, for whatever reasons, is not Bible-based. What does the Bible tell us? It tells us that the great banquet, the wedding feast, the marriage supper, the marriage banquet is prepared for the vultures. It is God's cleanup plan for the war waged in righteousness, the war that represents the culmination of the seven final plagues. The wrath of God is not something that is simple. It is a great war. It's going to have carnage. It is the judgment of God visited upon his enemies, and it results in 180 miles long of blood, as described at the end of Revelation chapter 14, and as described here in Revelation 19:21, it says at the end, and the vultures all gorged themselves on the dead bodies. So what are they feasting on? They aren't feasting on chicken dinner or shrimp fried rice or pork chops. Maybe you like fish dinner. Well, this isn't a dinner for you or me or others whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. This is a dinner for the vultures. This is God's cleanup plan for the Battle of Armageddon. So there you have it, truth seeker and friend. The Battle of Armageddon is the culmination of God's wrath. It's described in the marriage supper prophecy in Revelation chapter 19, verses 6 to 21. I want to confirm that it happens after the wedding. Let's go to the beginning of the prophecy, and then we're going to go to the seven plagues prophecy. So it begins with verse 6 of chapter 19, and it says, then I heard again what sounded like the shout of a vast crowd, or the roar of mighty ocean waves, or the crash of loud thunder. Praise the Lord, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice, and let us give honor, for the time has come for the wedding feast of the Lamb, and his bride has prepared herself. She has been given the finest of pure white linen to wear. So when are we given this pure white linen to wear? At the resurrection, at the resurrection, the first resurrection, we are given our new outfit. We are given a new outfit as part of the marriage. So there's the marriage and then the marriage supper. And it says this, for the fine linen represents the good deeds of God's holy people. And the angel said to me, write this, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding feast of the Lamb. And he added, these are true words that come from God. Then I fell down at his feet to worship him, but he said, no, don't worship me. I am a servant of God, just like you and your brothers and sisters who testify about their faith in Jesus. Worship only God. For the essence of prophecy is to give a clear witness for Jesus. I want to mention briefly, the prophecy in the book of Revelation that describes the first resurrection is the earth reaped prophecy. So that's in Revelation chapter 14. So the earth reaped prophecy, which describes the first resurrection, ends with giving us a brief glimpse of the Battle of Armageddon. And then after that prophecy, we have the seven plagues prophecy, which also ends with telling us that the Battle of Armageddon is the culmination of the seventh and final plague. Then we have a prophecy that tells us about another event in the same timing, but before the Battle of Armageddon. And then finally, in chapter 19, we have the culmination of God's wrath, which is the Battle of Armageddon. But I want to mention the war to end all wars, it is important to God. It's important to God. It's mentioned in the book of Revelation many times, many times. But the full report, the details of the Battle of Armageddon are in the marriage supper prophecy. The marriage supper, the wedding banquet, is the war to end all war, the Battle of Armageddon. But let's hear the seven and final plagues. I want to go to the full report. So the movie trailer in words is chapter 15. The full report is chapter 16. Let's start with the full report. The movie, if you will, in its entirety in words, here is the seven plagues prophecy in the book of Revelation. Reading from the New Living Translation, starting with verse 1 of chapter 16, it says, then I heard a mighty voice from the temple say to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out on the earth the seven bowls containing God's wrath. So the first angel left the temple and poured out his bowl on the earth, and horrible, malignant sores broke out on everyone who had the mark of the beast and who worshiped his statue. So the first plague impacts those who have the mark of the beast. They get a cancerous sore that breaks out on every person. So no matter where you are in the world, whether you're in Israel, Switzerland, Washington, D.C., Brazil, South Africa, Canada, wherever you are, if you have the mark of the beast, when the first of the seven final plagues are poured out, when the first of the seven final plagues is poured out, I should say, this is what happens. Malignant sores broke out on everyone, everyone who had the mark of the beast and who worshiped his statue. So if you don't have the mark of the beast, this malignant sore doesn't break out on you. But if you do, there's not a 1% chance that you'll get the malignant sore, or a 10% chance, or a 90% chance. It's 100% probability. 100% probability. Every prophecy in the book of Revelation is true and sure to come to pass. And it says, horrible, malignant sores broke out on everyone who had the mark of the beast and who worshiped his statue. Now, malignant is the opposite of benign. So when a person has a tumor or sore and you go to the doctor and you're waiting for the pathology report, right? That's the kind of doctor that analyzes tissue to determine what the nature of it is, if there's a problem or not. And so the way that they describe whether there's a problem or not, two categories, either a tumor or a sore is malignant or it's benign. If it's benign, that's good news. If it's malignant, it's a problem. So malignant is defined as very virulent or infectious. Then another definition of a tumor tending to invade normal tissue or to recur after removal. Cancerous, malevolent. So I'm just giving some definitions of malignant. Another definition, it says tending to produce death or deterioration. So it's nothing good. What happens next? Let's continue. Verse 3. Then the angel poured out his bowl on the sea, and it became like the blood of a corpse, and everything in the sea died. Then the third angel poured out his bowl on the rivers and springs, and they became blood. And I heard the angel who had authority over all water saying, "You are just, O Holy One, who is and who always was, because you have sent these judgments since they shed the blood of your holy people and your prophets. You have given them blood to drink. It is their just reward." And I heard a voice from the altar saying, "Yes, O Lord God, the Almighty, your judgments are true and just." Let's pause there for a second. So the first event that happens when the angel pours out the first plague, malignant cancerous sores come out, emerge on everyone. They come to everyone who has the mark of the beast. And then the second and third plagues, the waters. First, the water that has salt in it, the sea, then the fresh waters, that's the rivers and the springs, but ultimately all turn to blood. And we're told that that's God's judgment. So those who are Team Satan have shed the blood who are those, the blood of those who are Team Jesus. And so God's response is to give them blood because they have taken blood. So they have taken the blood of his people, so now they are given blood to drink as a punishment. Let's hear what happens next in verse 8. Then the fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, causing it to scorch everyone with its fire. Everyone was burned by this blast of heat, and they cursed the name of God, who had control over all these plagues. They did not repent of their sins and turn to God and give him glory. Let's pause there for a second. Now, what happened to the people who were recipients of this fourth plague? It says that everyone cursed the name of God. Are those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, are they individuals who curse God? Are the good fish those who fail to repent of their sins? Are the sheep those who refuse to turn to God? Are the wheat among those who fail to give God glory? No, 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 and no. So who are the people who fail to repent of their sins, who fail to turn to God, who fail to give God glory, who curse the name of God? These are those whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. These are the tares, the weeds, the bad fish, the goats. So I'm using language from the parables in Matthew, the wheat versus the tares. Some translations say the wheat versus the weeds. In other words, those who will participate in the marriage of the Lamb, those who are Team Jesus, versus those who will participate in the great white throne judgment, those who are Team Satan, those whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. If we want to talk about the sheep and the sheep are those who hear God's voice, those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The goats are those who do not hear God's voice. those whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. In the end, the wheat is harvested, is described in Revelation 14. What's that? The wheat. Those of us whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, we put on our incorruptible, glorified bodies, as described in 2 Corinthians and 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We put on our glorified, incorruptible bodies, our peak performance bodies, in the blink of an eye. So for those of us who are here on the earth, we will never experience the first death. If we are alive at the time of the second coming, we will never fall asleep. We will never experience the first death. We will simply transition from maybe having gray hair or glasses, or maybe your feet are funny, or maybe your back hurts. Whatever is happening to you physically, at the return of Jesus Christ, for the wheat, those who will participate in the first resurrection, the marriage of the Lamb, in the blink of an eye, we will transition to our immortal, glorified, perfected bodies. And those who are in heaven, as Prophet Randy Chandler has said repeatedly, they will leave that storage tank. They will leave heaven. That temporary storage tank, they will descend in their heavenly body with their spirit and soul intact, two in one. Their new, perfected, glorified body will rise from the grave, from the sea or the dirt, wherever it is. God in his omniscience, in his omnipotent, in his all-knowing and all-powerful self, he will cause their body to rise from the grave, and that two-in-one will put on that one. So the spirit and soul will put on that new tent, that new glorified, perfected, immortal body, and they will be restored, three-in-one. And those of us on the earth, we will be restored. So we're three-in-one, but this body that you're in, this body that I'm in, is deteriorating, it's decaying, it's under the curse. But let me read it from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It says in verse 16, "For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. First, the believers who have died will rise from their graves. Then, together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then we will all be with the Lord forever." So encourage each other with these words. So talking about this fourth plague, the wheat, that's you and me, friend. I believe that's you, truth seeker. Every person whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, we do not curse the name of God. We do not fail to repent of our sins. In Acts 2:38, the first thing we do as believers is repent of our sins. We don't fail to give God glory. So when it says everyone was burned by this blast of heat, and then it says, and they, talking about everyone, who's they, everyone, cursed the name of God. They, talking about everyone, did not repent of their sins and turn to God and give him glory. Obviously, this they is not you. If your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, if you are among the wheat, if you are Team Jesus, if you are a sheep. Okay, so what do we have here so far? Two plagues that impact human beings. Plague number one and four, the malignant sores that come on everyone who has the mark of the beast, no matter where a person is on the earth, if he, she, or they has the mark of the beast, that individual will get a malignant sore. Plague number four, the sun will be so hot that those who are among the tares, whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, they are going to be scorched with its fire. Plagues two and three, they're given blood to drink. So the seas, the rivers, and the springs are turned to blood as judgment. Now, let's go to plagues 5, 6, and 7. So let's see how these hang together for purposes of memorization. So plagues 1 and 4 hang together, things that happen to the bodies of human beings. Malignant sores, and the body is scorched. Plagues 2 and 3 hang together. The sea is changed from water to blood, and then in plague 3, the rivers and springs are changed to blood. So those hang together. Now, plagues 5 and 6 hang together, and they are the ramp up to plague number 7, which you already know. Plague number 7 culminates with the Battle of Armageddon. So how do we ramp up to the Battle of Armageddon? What does God do to ramp up to the Battle of Armageddon? So it starts with plague number 5. Let's hear it. Continuing in the 7 final plagues prophecy, it says in verse 10, then the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and his kingdom was plunged into darkness. His subjects ground their teeth in anguish, and they cursed the God of heaven for their pains and sores, but they did not repent of their evil deeds and turn to God. So these pains and sores didn't go away, right? If a person gets a cancerous sore and it's malignant, does it go away? And they have pain. So we know they have pain from the sores, and they have pain from the scorching of the sun on their bodies. And now, what happened with this fifth plague? It says, the throne of the beast, his kingdom was plunged into darkness. This is, in a nutshell, lights out Antichrist. Power out Antichrist. Power down Antichrist. God is communicating. Your power is coming to an end. It's lights out for you momentarily. Your power is leaving you. So remember, the 666 Antichrist prophecy tells us that the Antichrist will grow in dominion and power across the 3.5 years. But ultimately, as we already heard, in the marriage supper prophecy, the Antichrist is destroyed. And so the ramp up to his destruction is the fifth and last plague. And that's when, at the physical location of his headquarters. Now, I don't see in the book of Daniel or book of Revelation where the headquarters of the Antichrist prophecy is. If I had to speculate, I would say it's going to be somewhere in Europe. It will most likely be in one of the countries of the 10-nation alliance described in the 666 Antichrist prophecy. But this is me talking. It's not Bible. I have to say, I don't know. But what I do know, what we know from the Bible, is that the Antichrist will rule and reign, will have a throne in a particular location on the earth. That location, whether it's Amsterdam or Berlin, wherever it is, that location will experience a blackout. So if you've lived in California or Washington, D.C., or even in some parts of Africa, you have experienced a blackout. So all of a sudden, the power is out, and you're asked to conserve power, and you hope they're going to get it back on, and maybe it's out for a day or 2 days or a week. If you've been through a blackout, you know it's a serious thing. We need power. People are on ventilators. People have machines that they use to help them breathe at night. You need power to operate the microwave on your air conditioning or your heating unit. You need power for lights in a house. We need power for all kinds of things. And so imagine the king of the world, as the guy says in the Titanic, the literal king of the world, the Antichrist, the greatest leader of that time, is going to have a blackout. All the computers that operate from using the normal power grid are going to go down. Elevators aren't going to work. Hospitals will not have the power that they need to run their normal functions. And this is God communicating. We are ramping up to the Battle of Armageddon. Power down. Your power is about to come to an end. Now let's continue. The sixth and final plague hangs with this fifth one. The fifth and sixth final plagues hang together. They are the ramping up to the events of the seventh and final plague, which culminate with the Battle of Armageddon. Let's hear it. Continuing with verse 12, it says, "Then the sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great Euphrates River, and it dried up so that the kings from the east could march their armies toward the west without hindrance. And I saw three evil spirits that looked like frogs leap from the mouths of the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet." Let's pause there. Who are the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet? So the dragon is Satan. That's defined in Revelation chapter 20. The beginning of Revelation chapter 20, we're told that the dragon is that primeval serpent, Satan, the devil. So that's defined there. So these evil spirits leap from the mouth of the dragon, which is Satan, the beast. The beast is the 10-nation alliance. And by extension, its mouthpiece. Those two definitions are given in the 666 Antichrist prophecy. Also, we see the Antichrist referred to as the beast in the marriage supper prophecy in Revelation 19. So we have here Satan and the Antichrist, and then it says, and the false prophet. Let me read that again. "And I saw three evil spirits that looked like frogs leap from the mouths of the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. They are demonic spirits who work miracles and go out to all the rulers of the world to gather them for battle against the Lord on that great judgment day of God, the Almighty." Let's pause there. So we're told that a great judgment day of God, the Almighty, is coming. Now, I'm going to tell you, we're about to hear in the next two verses that that is the Battle of Armageddon. But here we're told it's that great judgment day of God the Almighty, and that these demonic spirits are gathered together, are used for the purposes of gathering them together for battle against the Lord. So remember, the Battle of Armageddon is the war to end all wars. Now, what did we hear with the sixth and final plague? It's the supernatural drying up of the Euphrates River. So first, with plague number five, God says, power down, lights out, your power is coming to an end. So the physical location of the Antichrist experiences a blackout due to supernatural power, God, causing the throne, the physical location of the Antichrist, his headquarters, to have a blackout. Now, with the sixth and final plague, God is saying, come here. On Sunday, I think I gave this example. Do you remember, maybe this has happened to you, or maybe you've seen it happen to somebody else. Maybe you've done this before. So maybe your son or daughter or niece or nephew, maybe your student, if you're a school teacher, did something wrong. And so you look that student right in the eye. You look that child right in the eye, and you use your pointer finger, and you make that motion to say, come here. In other words, don't look left or right. Don't go anywhere else. Come here. Make a beeline straight to me. And that's what God is saying with plague number six. This is how I want you to come to me, because I am about to annihilate you. I am about to wage a war of righteousness. I am going to bring an end to my enemies. My wrath is coming to its culmination. And the culmination of the wrath of God happens with the pouring out of the seventh and final plague, and it is, that culmination is the Battle of Armageddon. So this Euphrates River dries up supernaturally so that the armies of the kings of the world, they can have a clear path, which they will follow, to get to a physical location. What location is that? That's the location in Israel where the Battle of Armageddon will be fought. Now, you might hear people talking about how the Euphrates River is driving up. There's a dam that has been made there where it allows them to actually control the flow of water to the Euphrates River, but that's not what this is. We're talking about the supernatural drying up of the Euphrates River. That's the sixth and final plague. So they're going to follow that exact path where that water has dried up. They think that they are going to fight and win. They think they're going to finally capture Israel. So at this point, when the sixth and final plague is poured out on the earth, we are well into the Great Tribulation. That has ended. The Antichrist has been ruling and reigning. He has been extremely powerful, and now all of a sudden we have the wrath of God. And so people are still thinking that somehow the Antichrist is going to win, because he's been winning for 3.5 years, and then all of a sudden the wrath of God happens. So these people who are in the army, they all have the mark of the beast. In the armies led by the Antichrist and the kings of the world, they're thinking they're going to take out Israel. They think they're going to fight only those troops that have survived the last 3.5 years in Israel. So by this time, the numbers in Israel have dwindled. They have dwindled, and it's only a remnant that remains. Now, the Bible says, after the fullness of the Gentiles comes in, all Israel shall be saved. So I talked about that when we talked about the earth reap prophecy. I want to stay here, but that's a really interesting and important point. But the point I want to make here is, by this time, all Israel is relatively small in number, so they think they're about to have an easy time of it. But what they don't know is when they get to where they're going, who they're going to fight is not Israel. Who they're going to fight is Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh. Now, let's continue. So five, the fifth and final plague, lights out, power down, a blackout at the physical location of the headquarters of Satan. Plague number six, the supernatural drying up of the Euphrates rivers to make a beeline, a direct path for the enemies of God to reach God at the location that God has predetermined for them to face him at the Battle of Armageddon. Now let's continue here so we can hear what happens next. First, we're given some information. In verses 15 and 16 it says, "Look, I will come as unexpectedly as a thief. Blessed are all who are watching for me, who keep their clothing ready so they will not have to walk around naked and ashamed. And the demonic spirits gathered all the rulers and their armies to a place with the Hebrew name Armageddon." So we're already told that they were being gathered for battle against the Lord on that great judgment day. That was in verse 14. Now in verse 16, we're told what that great judgment day is. It's the Battle of Armageddon. And it says, "And the demonic spirits gathered all the rulers and their armies to a place with the Hebrew name Armageddon." So this is important. The seventh and final plague refers to events that happen in specific locations. So all who have the mark of the beast everywhere experience plagues one, right? Plague number one, the cancerous sores. If you are experiencing the sun and you're outside and you're not, your name's not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you're going to get scorched by that sun with plague number four. The blackout happens at the throne of the location of the Antichrist. It doesn't say that the blackout happens everywhere. The Euphrates River dries up supernaturally. It doesn't say that every other river dries up, but the Euphrates River. What about the Battle of Armageddon? Let's hear it. Verses 17 to 21. Here's the end of the seven plagues prophecy verses 17 to 21 of chapter 16. So we already heard the full report. We heard most of the full report of the Battle of Armageddon. It's in chapter 19 in the book of Revelation. Here we're about to hear what happens with the culmination of Judgment Day. So we're not talking about the great white throne judgment. We're talking about Judgment Day that's referred to here in chapter 16. In verse 14, it says that great Judgment Day of God the Almighty, and then we're told it happens at a place with the Hebrew name Armageddon. Here we're continuing with verse 17. It says, then the seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and a mighty shout came from the throne in the temple, saying, it is finished. Then the thunder crashed and rolled, and lightning flashed, and a great earthquake struck, the worst since people were placed on the earth. The great city of Babylon split into three sections, and the cities of many nations fell into heaps of rubble. So God remembered all of Babylon's sins, and he made her drink the cup that was filled with the wine of his fierce wrath. And every island disappeared, and all the mountains were leveled. There was a terrible hailstorm, and hailstones weighing as much as 75 pounds fell from the sky onto the people below. They cursed God because of the terrible plague of the hailstorm. Now, this is a description of the two following statements of prophecy. So this seven plagues prophecy is followed in chapters 17 and 18 by the purple and scarlet prophecy. It's the full report of what happens here when Babylon's sins are remembered, how God handles that harlot church and her leader, and the city where that harlot church has its headquarters. And in the following chapter, chapter 19, which we've been talking about today, that's the description of the Battle of Armageddon. By the way, the Battle of Armageddon is the seventh trumpet war. So in the seven trumpets prophecy, the second prophecy in the book of Revelation, the events following the sounding of the seventh trumpet include the Battle of Armageddon. So the Battle of Armageddon is the marriage supper, and the resurrection is the marriage. So there's the seventh trumpet war, the Battle of Armageddon, and there are the seven plagues. And one of the key events following the pouring out of the seventh and final plague is the seventh trumpet war, the Battle of Armageddon. And so, friend, I hope that our time today has helped you to have a very good understanding of what the seven final plagues are and how they hang together. Let's refresh. Plagues 1 and 4. Focus on what happens to those whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. What happens to them physically? Plague number 1, malignant sores happen in their mouths. God causes them to experience malignant sores in their mouth. Plague number 4, the sun becomes extremely hot and they are scorched with the heat of the sun. Plagues 2 and 3, those who have shed the blood of God's people are given blood to drink. How does that happen? The sea is turned to blood. That's plague number 2. And plague number 3, the rivers and springs are turned to blood. Plagues 5 and 6, the ramping up to the Battle of Armageddon. Plague number 5, a blackout for the headquarters of the Antichrist, a blackout, power out, power down. Plague number 6, the pathway for the Antichrist and his armies is created supernaturally with the drying up of the Euphrates River. And finally, plague number 7, two events These events are mentioned here at the end of chapter 16. Both events have their own statement of prophecy. So there's a judgment of Mystery Babylon. That happens with the pouring out of the seventh and final plague and the Battle of Armageddon. So the judgment of Mystery Babylon described in the Purple and Scarlet Prophecy in chapter 17 and 18, and the Battle of Armageddon described in the Marriage Supper Prophecy in Revelation chapter 19. This is our last talk for December of 2022. In the new year, we are going from start to finish. In the new year, we are starting with the first statement of prophecy in January, and then the second statement of prophecy in February, then the third in March, and so on like that. By the way, the eighth statement of prophecy is the Purple and Scarlet Prophecy. So in August, every program, every time we have the live internet broadcast for this program, Secrets Revealed, Understand the Book of Revelation, we'll be talking about, we'll have a new discussion, a new talk about the statement of prophecy for that month. So every month we will focus on a specific statement of prophecy. I encourage you to tune in live to the internet broadcast or to determine what time you want to listen every week so that you can know what is coming. I'm excited about what God has given me to share with you and everyone. I invite you to participate by listening. You can also text in your question about the Book of Revelation to 1-215-505-8719. You can text in your question 24/7 to 1-215-505-8719. So we will be on again on Sunday, live at 12 noon, at 12 noon Texas time, 1 p.m. Eastern time, and next Tuesday, again at 4 p.m. Central time, 5 p.m. Eastern time. Until next time, friend, I encourage you to call out to God, and he will show you great and mighty secrets that you do not know.